Welcome back, everyone. We're diving into a really interesting Supreme Court case today, Palmer v. Thompson.
Oh, yeah. This one's a fascinating one for sure.
It really gets at this tricky question, right? Like, can something that seems totally neutral actually be, you know, discriminatory?
Absolutely.
Right. Back to 1963, Jackson, Mississippi. They decided to close all their public swimming pools.
Mm-hmm.
So was it just about saving money? Or was it a way to avoid integration, you know, with everything happening with the civil rights movement?
It really gets right at the heart of the 14th Amendment, doesn't it?
Yeah, the Equal Protection Clause.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, everyone's supposed to be treated the same under the law. But how do you figure out if there is like a hidden discriminatory motive when you have a decision that on the surface impacts everyone equally?
Right, right. I mean, to me, it seems pretty straightforward. Public pools are for everybody, and closing them down to get around integration just feels wrong.
Yeah.
Did the Supreme Court see it that way?
Well, it wasn't really that simple. To really get the court's decision, we need to step back a bit. Look at what was going on after Brown v. Board of Education.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 1954. Right. That was a huge turning point.
Huge. Desegregation was gaining momentum, and lower courts started applying the Brown principle to all kinds of public facilities.
So like parks, libraries,
yeah.
Swimming pools, too. They were all becoming integrated.
Exactly.
But Jackson, Mississippi, they weren't exactly embracing this change, were they?
They were not.
Okay, so what happened?
Well, this resistance really came to a head in 62 with Clark v. Thompson. Three black citizens, they sued Jackson because of the segregated facilities, you know, including the pools. And the court actually sided with them, said they had the right to use these spaces equally.
But instead of integrating, Jackson just shut everything down.
Yeah, they did. They could have appealed or even just complied with the court order.
But they didn't.
Nope. They closed all the public pools.
What is their reason?
Financial burdens and concerns about keeping things orderly.
It sounds like they were just trying to find an excuse to avoid the whole integration thing.
It does, doesn't it?
See if people buy it.
Well, a lot of folks saw right through it. And this is where the mayor at the time, Mayor Thompson, he really kind of makes things worse. Made a bunch of public statements that... Well, let's just say he wasn't exactly a fan of integration.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like, there's this one where he talks about not wanting to end up with five colored swimming pools. I mean, that pretty much sums up his stance, right?
Wow. So you've got this background of racial tension, this legal push for desegregation, and Jackson's response is to basically say, no swimming for anybody.
Pretty much.
And that's where Palmer v. Thompson comes in.
Exactly. This case, filed in 65, argues that closing the pools was just a sneaky way to discriminate. It was a class action lawsuit brought by black citizens who were denied access to the pools because of their race. And they claimed it was a violation of the 14th Amendment.
So it wasn't just about losing a place to swim. It was about equal access, a basic right. So what happened? Did the court side with the citizens?
Unfortunately, no. The district court and the court of appeals, they both upheld the city's decision. They just accepted the city's justifications, didn't really dig any deeper.
So it went all the way to the Supreme Court.
Uh-huh.
This case had huge implications, not just for Jackson, but for the whole country. What was the final verdict?
Supreme Court, oh, they were really divided on this one. There are a lot of different opinions. But ultimately, the majority opinion written by Justice Black upheld the city's right to close the pools.
Wait a minute. So even the highest court in the country said it was okay to shut down public services just to avoid integration?
Yeah.
I don't get it. How could they possibly justify that?
Well, the majority argued that the 14th Amendment doesn't specifically say that a state has to operate swimming pools. And since the closure affected everyone equally, black and white, they didn't see it as discrimination.
Equally. How could you say that closing pools in a city struggling with segregation impacts people equally? It seems obvious that this was meant to deny black citizens their rights.
That's exactly why this case is so complex and so controversial. The majority focused on this idea of equal impact, but the dissenting justices, they saw right through it. They argued that the city's motives were clearly discriminatory, even if the results seemed neutral on the surface.
So the court was split on this. Tell me more about those dissenting opinions. They seem like they were really trying to get to the heart of the matter. Who were the justices who dissented, and what were their main arguments?
We had some passionate dissents. Justices Douglas, White, and Marshall. Each of them had a slightly different take, but they all agreed on one thing. Closing the pools to get around integration, it was a violation of the 14th Amendment.
Well, let's start with Justice Douglas. He was known for being a big defender of individual liberties, wasn't he? What was his perspective on this case?
Yeah, he was. Justice Douglas, he focused on the Ninth Amendment. That's the one about unenumerated rights. Basically, rights that aren't specifically written in the Constitution, but we still consider them super important.
Right, like a right to privacy, even though that's not explicitly in the Constitution.
Exactly. And he argued that something like access to public services like swimming pools, well, that could very well fall under these unenumerated rights.
So it's like saying, even if the Constitution doesn't say everyone has the right to swim in a public pool, it's kind of implied in our broader idea of freedom and equal access.
Mm.
What about Justice White? What were his main points?
Justice White, oh, his dissent was really something. He basically said that closing the pools was just straight up discrimination, no two ways about it.
Okay, I can see why you called it something.
And he really tore apart the city's arguments about money problems and safety concerns. He pointed out that they were already running the pools at a loss to accommodate more people, so suddenly worrying about the budget, it just seemed way too convenient.
And then there's Justice Marshall. Being the first African-American Supreme Court justice, I imagine he had a particularly powerful perspective on this.
Absolutely. He was in full agreement with Douglas and White. And he emphasized how these closures would disproportionately affect Black citizens. For him, this wasn't some abstract legal argument. It was about real people being denied basic rights just because of their race.
Wow. So you have this sharp contrast, the majority sticking to the letter of the law and the dissenters looking at the bigger picture. The context, the intent. It really shows how legal decisions aren't just about abstract principles. They have real consequences for real people.
You hit the nail on the head. Palmer v. Thompson really highlights how that separate but equal idea was just never truly equal at all.
Yeah, and it reminds us that the fight for equality is about so much more than just changing laws. It's about changing hearts and minds and creating a society where everyone feels like they truly belong. But we've only scratched the surface of this case.
Yeah, we have. We still need to dig into the concurring opinions. Those add a whole other layer to this complex debate. And then there's a question of Palmer's legacy and how this decision reverberated throughout the country.
We'll delve into all of that and more in the next part of our deep dive. Stay tuned.
So it's like Palmer v. Thompson kind of gave a blueprint to other cities, you know, for how to discriminate while seeming all neutral and innocent.
Yeah, it's like a how-to guide, almost. But in a really bad way, obviously.
Did it really have that much impact, though? On the whole civil rights movement, I mean.
Oh, absolutely. This case, it's not just about swimming pools. It exposed something really unsettling about how some places were resisting desegregation.
So closing the pools, it wasn't really about the money or whatever.
Right. It was about sending a message. Like, we would rather shut this whole thing down than let Black people swim here.
And that message, it didn't just stay in Jackson, did it? Other cities could just point to Palmer and say, hey, the Supreme Court said it's okay. Exactly. And that's what makes cases about discrimination so tricky. How do you prove motive? Even the justices who sided with Jackson, they admitted that it's hard to pin down the real reason behind a decision like this.
It's like they're hiding their true intentions, you know? We got all this official language and bureaucracy. How do you prove discrimination when they're being so sneaky about it?
It's definitely tough. But you have to look beyond just what they're saying, right? You have to examine the timing, the context, who benefits, who gets hurt. You have to connect those dots.
It's a reminder that these legal battles, especially when it comes to civil rights, they're not just about what the law says. They're about power and perception and real people's lives.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Palmer v. Thompson is a perfect example of how that separate but equal idea was just a bunch of nonsense. It was never really about equality at all.
It makes me think back to what Justice White said, you know, about how closing the pools wasn't just about taking away a place to swim. It was about making Black citizens feel inferior.
Yeah, that was powerful, wasn't it? Discrimination, it's not always just about the concrete stuff, like being denied access to something. It's also about the message it sends. Like, you don't belong, like you're less than.
And that ties into the arguments about the 13th Amendment that came up in the case, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't just about abolishing slavery itself. It was about getting rid of all the leftover baggage, the things that kept Black people down even after they were free.
You got it. And even though the court rejected that argument in this specific case, the fact that it was even brought up is significant. It forces us to think about, like, what does it really mean to be free from slavery? Can you really say you're free if you're denied basic rights just because of the color of your skin?
And then you've got Justice Douglas bringing in the Ninth Amendment, right? That whole concept of unenumerated rights.
Right. Like, even if the Constitution doesn't spell it out word for word, there are still some rights that are so fundamental, you just can't take them away.
It's like saying the right to dignity, the right to equal treatment. Those are so deeply ingrained in the idea of a just society that they don't even need to be written down.
Exactly. In this case, it really does make you think about all these deep questions, doesn't it?
Yeah, like opening a can of worms, but in a good way.
I like that, yeah. It's about way more than just swimming pools. It gets at the heart of what kind of society we want to be.
Well, this deep dive is definitely showing how a single case can spark all these big questions.
And you know what's crazy? Even though this case happened decades ago, the issues it raises are still so relevant today. How do we figure out if someone's intentions are discriminatory? What are the limits of government power? How do we actually achieve true equality? We're still wrestling with those questions.
It makes you realize that legal precedents, they're important, but they're also stuck in the past, you know? Our understanding of what's right and wrong, of what equality really means, that has to keep evolving as we do. But before we move on, I want to go back to those concurring opinions. They seem to take a more cautious approach, a little more practical, maybe.
Yeah, definitely worth taking a look at those. Chief Justice Berger, for example, he was concerned about what would happen if we started examining every single government decision for hidden motives.
So he was saying, hey, we need to be careful. We don't want to create a system where cities are so afraid of being sued that they can't even make basic decisions.
Which is a fair point, right? You have to balance equal protection with letting local governments do their thing.
It is, isn't it? A tricky balance for sure. And Justice Blackmun, he added another layer of complexity too. Remember how Jackson didn't shut down all their public facilities?
Oh, right. Just the pools. Yeah. Everything else stayed open. That's what made him uneasy. He pointed out that parks, golf courses, the zoo, they were all desegregated and kept running. So why single out swimming pools?
So it makes their excuse about money seem even weaker, right? If it was really about saving money, why not close everything?
Exactly. It just makes it harder to believe that it wasn't about avoiding integration. He was basically saying, if this was really about saving money, why not close everything?
So we're back to that motive question. How do we prove it when those in power are so good at hiding their true intentions?
You know, it's a challenge, but it's not impossible. We need to look at the context, you know, the patterns of behavior, the real impact of their actions. And even when things seem neutral on the surface, we can't be afraid to ask the tough questions and demand accountability.
So it's about understanding that discrimination isn't always so in your face, right? It can be hidden in these policies and decisions that seem harmless, even helpful.
Exactly. And even if we can't always prove what someone was thinking, we still need to pay attention to how their actions affect different groups. And if those actions are hurting certain communities, we need to speak up and demand change.
So what does all of this mean for us today? What lessons can we take from Palmer? It happened so long ago, but it feels like we're still dealing with these same issues.
It does, doesn't it? Well, I think it's a powerful reminder that the fight for equality, it's not over. We can't just sit back and think that everything's fixed because we have laws on the books. We have to be active, we have to be aware, and we have to keep pushing for a more just world.
So it's not enough to just rely on legal precedents. We need to be actively engaged in creating a better society, not just through laws, but through our actions and how we treat each other.
And I think it also highlights how important it is to understand history, not just as something that happened in the past, but as something that still shapes us today. We need to learn from these cases, like Palmer, so we don't repeat the same mistakes.
It's a reminder that the choices we make, the laws we pass, they all have consequences that can last for generations. And we have a responsibility to make sure those consequences are positive, that they create a world where everyone has a chance to thrive.
Couldn't agree more. It's on us to build that kind of future.
Well, this deep dive has been a real journey. We've gone from the segregated South in the 60s all the way to the Supreme Court. And we've explored how law, society, and the fight for equality are all tangled up together.
It's a reminder that even a case about swimming pools can raise these really profound questions that we're still grappling with today.
Yeah, it shows how even seemingly small things can have huge implications for justice and equality. But before we wrap up, you said earlier that this case leaves us with a lot to ponder.
I did.
Do you have a particular question in mind? Something that might help our listeners connect Palmer to their own lives?
I do. I was thinking, could a similar case like this happen today? You know, like a city closing down or making it hard to access public services and saying it's for like budget reasons or public safety, but it's actually like low-key discrimination against a certain group.
It's kind of scary to think about, right?
Yeah.
All those budget cuts and public safety initiatives. Sometimes I wonder if they disproportionately affect certain communities, even if that's not the intention.
Yeah, you got to wonder, right? We need to be looking deeper, I think, not just taking their word for it when they say it's about saving money or whatever. Like, who's actually benefiting from these policies and who's getting left behind?
It's like, you know, the devil's in the details. We need to be smart enough to spot those details, to connect the dots and ask those hard questions, even when things seem like they're for the best.
Exactly. And cases like Palmer, they remind us that the fight for equality, it's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process. We can't get complacent. We got to be watching out for these subtle ways that discrimination sneaks in, even when it's disguised as something else.
Yeah, it's not always so obvious, right?
Yeah.
Discrimination can be hidden in budget decisions or zoning laws, or even just the way resources are distributed in a community.
Right. And even if it's hard to prove what someone was thinking, we still need to look at how their actions affect different groups. And if some groups are being hurt, we can't just stay silent. We got to demand change.
It all comes down to holding those in power accountable, right? And demanding transparency. If a policy seems like it's going to hurt certain communities more than others, they need to explain why.
Absolutely. And remember, equality isn't just a legal concept. It's about how people actually live their lives. If we want a truly equal society, we need to listen to everyone, especially those who are being marginalized, and fight for policies that benefit everybody.
This deep dive has been so eye-opening. We've gone from segregated swimming pools in Mississippi to the Supreme Court, and we've seen how law, society, and the fight for equality are all intertwined.
And it all started with something that seemed so simple on the surface, right? Swimming pools. But Palmer v. Thompson shows how even seemingly small things can reveal these much bigger issues about justice and fairness.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that we need to be paying attention to the details, to the things that might seem insignificant at first glance, because those details can have a huge impact on people's lives.
Well, this has been a fascinating exploration of a really important case. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us.
It's been a pleasure. Really enjoyed it. I hope our listeners will keep thinking about these issues and keep pushing for a more just and equal world.
Until next time, stay curious, stay engaged, and keep asking those tough questions.